The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
They're legitimately cool football subjects to discuss, not manufactured or make-believe. We have the first FPI of the year, and the man who put it together will join us a little bit later on. And there is one school in the top 10 that you are not going to believe. Let's get to some headlines before we reveal the scope of the day. And we mentioned this yesterday. Eddie George hired at Tennessee State, and that's what the headline says. Another way to honor McNair, of course, the legendary player. And he is going to join us in a few minutes and cannot wait to talk to the All-American Heisman winner from Ohio State who went on to the Titans, who went on to Broadway, and now is back in college football. Meanwhile, there's a new coach on the Vanderbilt campus, so two coaches in the city of Nashville. Shea Ralph, longtime assistant at UConn, I'm talking 14 years, named head coach of the Vanderbilt women's basketball team. And are you worried that Eric Musselman might be leaving to go to Arizona? Worry no more. Muss is finalizing a new multi-year contract that will not only make him rich, but keep him with the Razorbacks, according to Jeff Goodman. Everyone knows it was 2 weeks ago when Musselman led the Razorbacks to the Elite Eight, and great news there. Meanwhile, we briefly discussed this yesterday with Nick Suss. The NCAA has backed transgender athletes, saying experts will be in places, events will be in places free of discrimination. And that was something that we still need some clarification on. But as you know, a couple of states in this region have restrictive laws on transgender. So we will look into that a little bit later. And if you ever had to call like two men in a truck or whatever it's called to move you from one place to the next, I have. In fact, I think I use them. It's either two men or three men. I can't remember. But look at this. This statue has moved right in time for A-Day. 7 tons, 19 feet tall. How much did it cost? Just a mere $415,000. That is poker money for Nick Saban. And here we go. You ready for the first top 10 of the year? This is the FPI. That's the Football Power Index. You know who number one is. But what about Oklahoma? Can they challenge Alabama for the top? They are number two. Clemson is three. Are you ready to unveil the list? I don't usually laugh this hard when I'm not drinking, but Iowa State at number four? Is that laughable or what? Ohio State five. Texas A&M, Georgia, hold on a second. Is that a misprint? Is that Mississippi State at number eight? As in terrible season last year under Mike Leach, Oklahoma State number nine, and Penn State number 10. Well, the full rankings, of course, available at ESPN.com. That is one crazy list, I don't mind saying. And I'm really curious. Is there a State fan within the sound of my voice that believes that Mississippi State is a top 10 team? Maybe they are. Who's not in the top 10? Can you do a Gator chomp? How do you feel, Gators? You are ranked behind Mississippi State in the power index. So are a lot of other schools, by the way. I mean, A&M, Georgia, you expect that. You expect Alabama. You expect Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State. You do not expect Iowa State. Maybe a little bit later in the poll, but I need someone to explain this one to me. I'm waiting. Is anyone going to call and explain how Mississippi State ended up in the top 10? Phone number here is 855-242-7285. And what are we going to do today on the program? You got it. Eddie George will be with us early. Rick Davidson, he is a longtime Auburn man who is part of the Crooked Oaks Legacy Foundation. Translation, Pat Dye's Foundation. Connor O'Gara has had some interesting comments recently about Tennessee and other things. And Seth Walder will join us later on. But I'm still waiting for someone to explain that top 10 to me. We will get to calls in just a moment. I'll make sure I looked down and my board had just got, it looked like it had blown out. So I'm going to make sure it's working before we get to calls. But, I mean, I want to think about this for a second. How much do you buy the FBI? The FBI. I buy the FBI a lot more. And we're 3 hours away from Seth explaining the rationale behind it. And usually there are good metrics that go into this. But I want to talk about this for a second. Alabama, Oklahoma get Clemson. Now, Iowa State, I don't know what they're basing it on. Iowa State had a good season last year. I mean, they had some really impressive games. They had some clunkers as well. Ohio State, A&M, Georgia. Oklahoma State, yeah, I can see that. That was a team that was ascending last year. But Penn State, yeah, but not Penn State, but Mississippi State, I really want to think about that one. I'm going to look deeper into this poll in a minute. But I really just don't understand the Mississippi State thing. And I'm not going to harp on it anymore because I have spent a little bit of time on it. But I do want to get some clarification when we talk to him. And again, I'm trying. Don't usually ask the audience to give me a second, but I'm looking at the complete list now. And after Mississippi State is Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, Texas. Florida would be at 14. Florida is at 14. LSU at 18. Does anybody buy that? Ole Miss at 22. And that's how the top 25 reads. So, again, Auburn. Oh, I forgot. Auburn, let me do the SEC schools again. Alabama 1. A&M is next at 6, Georgia 7, Mississippi State 8, and then we go to Florida at 14, Auburn at 16, LSU 18, Ole Miss at 22. So those are the SEC schools in the brand new FPI. Let's get some reaction, and we begin with Marion in Georgia. Marion, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing today?
We are doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm fine. I would like to speak on the Mississippi State comment you made.
Okay.
I agree with everything you said other than Mississippi State played more top SEC teams. And I know people say whatever they say, but the west side of the SEC is stronger. They play more competitive people on our side.
Of course.
On the east side, you don't have the two teams that really flourish, which is Florida and Georgia. You can go on the west side, and you got everything heavy is on our side. So I'm an Alabama fan. I would think, you know, we'll be in the top five. but if Mississippi State is above Texas A&M and Auburn and whatnot, they lost to top teams. And
well, but hold on, hold on a second. Let's not make this too complicated. Let's look at let's look at what State did last year. They beat LSU in the opener. They looked really good. They had some impressive performances, and then they just had some inexplicable performances. Would you not agree with me?
I would agree. But when you say the LSUs, the Auburns, the Texas A&M, they played those all SEC teams, and they pretty much dominated.
I mean, Mississippi State lost to Kentucky 24-2. They lost to Alabama 41-0. Now they played a good game against Arkansas, lost by 7. They lost it to A&M by 2 touchdowns, and they barely got by Vanderbilt. I mean, that was a game that literally went down to the last minute. So, I mean, you can't base everything on last year, but then you have to move it forward and look at their schedule and see what they have to deal with this year. That's really the ultimate test this year, not what happened last year.
Right, you're correct. But the people they're bringing back is also what you're looking at too, right?
Of course, absolutely.
The people that are coming back. Right, right. Well, I appreciate you talking to me today, man.
Well, thank you very much. And by the way, their schedule is not—it's not impossible. They open with Louisiana Tech. They have NC State, which, let's be honest, is—they're going to be NC State. NC State is a program that's going nowhere. Memphis the next week—that's a game that could very well decide what happens the rest of the way. LSU after that, A&M and College Station, Alabama and Starkville, Vandy. Kentucky. I tell you what, now that Tennessee State late in the year, now that I look at the schedule, it is fairly manageable. I will tell you that. And they have the Ole Miss game in Starkville. They have a chance for a decent season now. Decent to me is 8-4, maybe somewhere in that range, but top 10, I'll need to be convinced. We'll take a break. One of the coaches that we'll be dealing with the Bulldogs is going to be joining us next. He is Eddie George, the all-time great, now the new coach at Tennessee State.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Yesterday, we led our program with this news, and I know so many people are really excited in Nashville and across the country, for that matter, because Eddie George, who's a legendary player, we all have followed his career from the Heisman at Ohio State to All-Pro in the NFL to Broadway a couple of years ago. Remember when we talked to him when he was on Broadway? Well, he has now landed in Nashville, where he spent a lot of his life and his career as the new coach at Tennessee State. And Eddie, you and I have done a lot of radio shows together. We've joked about Ohio State and Alabama, but I can't joke anymore. I got to call you Coach. So, Coach, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I took this job just so you can do that, Paul. So you have to call me Coach.
Well, I mean, back in the day, before I made the move, you did a lot of work for SiriusXM, and I did too. And we would do some shows together at the national championship. And I love nothing more than rubbing it into you when good. I mean, man, am I sorry we weren't together about 2 months ago in the aftermath of the national championship game?
See, there you go. But it's okay now because my heart has turned blue, and I know for Ohio State fans they won't like that. But you know, it's a new chapter in my life. I'm really excited about it. This happened unexpectedly. Sometimes in life, things come out of nowhere and just changes you for the better. And this is one of those instances that happened. Did not foresee this. If you asked me 6 months ago if I saw coaching in my future, it would have been no. I was focused on building my businesses, focused on my entertainment career, and also my teaching. But when I was offered this opportunity, without going too much into grave detail of how we got here, I saw it a natural fit for all the things that I'm doing. It elevates a lot. I can be in a position of service and truly changing these men's lives for the better before, during, and certainly after their playing days are done, to elevate and to transition them into a life after the game of football. But while I'm here, I want my impact to be felt. We're here to win championships, not just OBC championships, but national championships, and to develop All-Americans and to develop All-Americans on and off the football field. So I'm really excited about the opportunity. Can't wait to get my hands entrenched into the infrastructure, into the business. Plan on doing a quick audit of what we have here and how we can enhance it and then move it forward and get this this program moving in the right direction.
Eddie, you laid out your career, and it's been very impressive. And a lot of guys, as we both know, you know, struggle post playing days. But you didn't. I mean, you seemed like you were well thought it out. But when this thing popped into your head, or however it came to you recently, what triggered you to get over the finish line? Because I mean, you could have been very polite and said thank you. I'm a huge fan of helping young people, but I'd rather do it my own way. What sold you on doing it now?
Well, for one, I did struggle after I finished playing the game of football. It was not an easy transition for me, so I understand that. And in saying that, I wanted to come from a position of what do I wish I had when I finished playing the game of football to help with that transition? And it kind of started there, Paul. But to answer your question, this opportunity was presented to me some time ago. And initially, I was like, thank you, but no thank you. But then I talked to my wife. I talked to my family. I said, Taj, you know, they're asking me to be the head football coach. I've never coached in my life. I have no intentions on coaching. I love watching the game. My sons have played the game. My youngest son is in high school. And I want to play golf, build my businesses, enjoy my life. And then she says, but why not? And I couldn't come up with a good reason why I couldn't do it. I mean, you think about it. I live here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm familiar with the program. There's so much going on now with HBCUs, and they're getting money, they're growing, their vision is in the right place. And given my wealth of experience on the field, off the field, in the boardroom, on the boards of Broadway, I felt like I can bring a holistic approach to this program that has my thumbprint on it. And quite frankly, after I've gone through the exercise of what would it look like, what a program would look like, how much would it cost, and so forth, and going through all of that, I got really excited about it. And it wasn't until about a couple weeks ago when I was like, you know, I'm going to pull the trigger. My businesses will still exist. They'll look a little differently. But for the most part, I can truly hit a broad stroke of young men and impact them for the rest of their lives, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for coaches like Mickey Sullivan at Fork U Military Academy, who's going into the Hall of Fame this year. He was such an instrumental part of my life. And I would not be sitting in this position, talking to you, being a head coach, doing all the things that I've done, if it wasn't for his impact. So if I can do the same thing for some young kid that's coming in here, hopeful of having an NFL dream or hopeful of having a career after that, I want to do that same thing. Because I'm at this point in my life where I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm looking to give back in a great way. And I feel like I'm going to get so much more fulfillment out of this than even having played in my own career. So I relish in that. I gave that some deep thought. I just did a lot of soul searching, and I put my own selfish wants aside and said, hey, this is the ultimate act of service, is to choose to be a leader. And coming in, you know, knowing that I haven't coached a football game in my life.
Eddie, I want to go back to something you said, because it doesn't matter who we are, and particularly after the last 53 weeks or 13 months, I should say. We've all struggled mm-hmm. with various things in our life. But, yeah, it looks like when you finish playing professional football after a storied college and pro career, it should be the time of your life. And I've seen you during this period, and you've done so much. But for those who are struggling, would you go back and discuss for just a moment how you were able to cope with leaving the limelight, so to speak, and finding something new? Because I think it's important for all of us to understand that we all deal with this.
Yes, and that's one of our pillars here, is to really focus on a robust, strong mental health program in terms of that. Young men put so much stake in just playing the game of football and playing professionally. And you can go on to have a Hall of Fame career and make millions of dollars. But once you realize that that's not your identity and that's not your who you are, it can go a turn for bad. So for me, I went through that, a little bit of that. I had, at the end of my career when I was 31, in 2004, newly married, I had my second child on the way, I saved my money, but I just didn't know what was next. It was a situation where I was like, well, who am I? For so long, I built up this personality, this person as a football player, and now that was gone, what was next for me? What was my next purpose in life? And I was able to do it through my education, through my love of the arts, and through my entrepreneurship ventures. And I had to seek out counseling, which I still do. You know, I'm a huge proponent of someone saying, hey, I need help. That's the strongest thing you can do. Instead of saying, I'm strong enough to handle this on my own, I'm a grown man and I can deal with it on my own. You know, there's more power in saying that you need help. And that's what got me through it, you know, talking it out, hearing me out. Being an actor, I was able to take a lot of the frustration, the passion, the fear, and filter that through storytelling. And that's allowed me to have the confidence to get in front of people and talk and an audience. So, you know, I say all that to say that you cannot overlook the fact of mental health. You can't throw money at it. You have to have a strong resource there that understands and make sure that your kids are checking in daily, because the reality of it is, Paul, is that the majority of these kids won't make it to the NFL, and I'm not going to put that in their heads. I'm going to say, hey, you come here, you want to go to the NFL, we want to prepare you for that. But in case that you don't, here's what you can do to find your next passion, and that's what I'm a big advocate of.
Finally, before you go, just the prestige and the long history of this university, I know that had to be a factor, but how do you connect the past at Tennessee State to the present and make sure that the future is as bright as the past?
Great question. Is honoring the tradition, knowing the great coaches that have coached here. We have Hall of Fame coaches. We have Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame players. This university has produced the most players in the NFL out of all the HBCUs. The bones are here for greatness. So it's to engage with the guys of the past, to bring back those guys, and to have a lettersman's club and all of those things to where we can find out, well, what can we do collectively to help push this university forward. The funds are there. The opportunity is there. We have a ton of potential, a ton of energy. And that's what I think is going to take us to propel into the next for the future. So I did not take this job, Paul, as a spike. I did not take this job as a splash in the pan. I'm not interested in the splash. I'm more interested in sustainability. and how we can do that for the future. So when I'm long and gone, this continues to move forward in a positive direction towards evolution, and it doesn't move backwards. So it's going to take for us to roll up our sleeves, figure out where the deficiencies are, look at where our strengths are and where our weaknesses are, and put our thumbprint on it in a responsible, safe way. And to your point, is to connect people together and to let them know this is our vision, not Eddie George's vision, not any individual's vision, but what's the best for the university of TSU moving forward and these young people that are coming to this university.
Just a fantastic conversation with Eddie George. Coach Eddie George, all the very best, and we can't wait to see you this fall, and hope you'll come back here very soon.
All right. Hey, Paul, I'm going to send you a TSU hat, so you have to wear it from now on, okay?
I will. I would be thrilled. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to get that. Thanks, Eddie.
All right.
Coach Eddie George of TSU, and you got it. In Nashville, we'll take a short break. What a fantastic way to begin the program. And we are off and running with your phone calls coming up next at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Eddie. We've also talked a little bit about this new FPI, and we're going to talk to Seth Walder, who was in charge of putting together the list. We went over the top 10 names, which were intriguing. For those who may have missed it, let's expand it a little bit and include how the SEC school is ranked in the top 25 as we get ready to show you this list. Of course, Alabama being number one. And do we have the list ready? Anyway, Alabama is one, Texas A&M sixth, Georgia seventh, Mississippi State eight, Florida 14, Auburn 16, LSU 18, Ole Miss 22, Arkansas 29, Missouri 34, Kentucky 39, Tennessee 48th, South Carolina 68th, and Vandy 93rd. So let's get some conversation going on that, especially if you're a Tennessee fan or South Carolina fan or even a Kentucky fan. You are getting some strong indicators right there. This could be a long year. What about Mississippi State ranked fourth in the SEC ahead of Florida, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, and Missouri? I'm sure there will be a little bit of reaction to that, and we will get it for you in just a minute. 855-242-7285, and let's get back to the calls here and check out Dave, who is in New Jersey. Hey, Dave, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great.
Excellent, excellent. We're doing a little better today. One of my free time things, I run a town softball program for kids. Yesterday it was 50, rainy, and miserable. Canceled all our games. Today it's 65, sunny, and nice, and we're going to play ball.
Well, I can't wait. That's good weather for Jersey.
It really is. I wanted to thank you for Eddie George's interview. It said it brought back memories of what I call the soggiest day I ever spent at a football game. And it was January 1st, 96, Orlando. And on New Year's Eve, all the Buckeye fans in Orlando were giving us such a hard time because they were bringing a Heisman Trophy winner to town, and we had no chance at all. We just had some sophomore quarterback called Peyton Manning, and we started about 10 a.m. that morning, and by time game time, we were soaked to the skin. It just never stopped raining. I think about the third quarter. But it was a wonderful day because I seem to remember we won 20-14, and everybody in orange, although soaking wet, we had a wonderful day and a wonderful time, and that just all came roaring back in your interview, and I just wanted to thank you for bringing him on.
Well, Dave, thank you, and I tell you, I've known Eddie quite a while, and he just exudes class. And I think, you know, he said so much in that conversation. This is not about me. I'm not the star here. Somewhat contrasting with someone else who joined us a couple of months ago about his first season as a head coach. Let's get back to the calls and check out Jim, who is in Texas. Hello, Jim. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
So, wasn't it April Fool's Day about 12 days ago?
Yeah. Well, in fact, that's exactly when it was.
Well, okay. So, admittedly, I'm an Ole Miss fan, but you're telling me that Mississippi State is going to be better than Penn State, Notre Dame, Florida, Texas, Wisconsin, LSU, Oregon, and Auburn. Who wrote that? Mike Leach?
I don't know. Well, I do know. We'll talk to him in about 2 hours. So I'm not trying to overhype an interview, but I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. And by the way, the person we have on is in charge of the metrics. They use a specific means of schedule, of power, intangibles. I don't even remember. We've had Seth on a million times. I can't remember what he puts into a power index, but that may be one of the strangest things I've ever seen spit out of one of these computers.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, Iowa State, yeah, they've had some success, but that one is a head scratch.
I mean, the only thing I will say, Jim, is that Mississippi State's schedule is pretty palatable, and you know they could win all four non-conference games. When you talk about Tech and NC State is there, which is at home, and you know Memphis is a challenge. I'm not saying it isn't. And Tennessee State, they have Ole Miss at home, and here it is for those who missed it earlier: Louisiana Tech, NC State at Memphis. That's a troublesome game, by the way. LSU at home, at A&M. I don't know how in the world they're going to win at A&M. Alabama at home, but they have at Vanderbilt, Kentucky, at Arkansas, at Auburn, Tennessee State, and Ole Miss. So They catch a break non-conference wise, and they also get Vanderbilt, which is the weakest team in the SEC, as a game they play crossover. So you know, they always play Kentucky. So I mean that's fairly Alabama at home, that doesn't do them no favors. At A&M, LSU at home, State has beaten LSU at home. That would not be considered the biggest upset, considering State won there last year. And Ole Miss, that's all I can think of. That's it.
I mean, best case, they go 4-4 in the SEC. And that does not equate to number 8 in the country.
Yeah, I'm looking at SEC losses, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how they could do any better than 4-4 in the SEC.
Yeah, crazy.
That would be considered moderately successful. Anyway, we're heading to a break. We will continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We have a long way to go, including Seth Walder now, who is the most eagerly anticipated guest we've had in a while, especially to you folks in Starkville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and James is up next as we head to the phones. Hey, James.
Paul, it's a wonderful time of year, isn't it?
It's hard to beat this time of the year. I'm glad you appreciate it.
I'm sitting here listening to the filler, the whatever's running, whatever we call it, between your program and the advertisements. I hear Charles Barkley claim that James Harden may be the best player on the planet.
I didn't hear that.
Well, here's what I would offer to Charles, and I'm going back. I'm going to date myself here. Charles once upon a time said in an advertisement, any knucklehead can score. You recall Logan's phone call from yesterday, Paul?
I do remember it, yes.
And there were some so-called irate Auburn fans calling in. I wouldn't call myself irate. I would just call myself disgruntled. But maybe, you know, now, possibly, my disgruntlement will change to something else. But would you say 4 years is enough of the recent past to, for, I don't know, a reference?
I think 4 years is a long time to keep going back to.
Okay, let's just say 4 years then. See, yesterday the issue with Logan and the host was that somehow the Alabama-Auburn rivalry had fallen off. Well, I understand we haven't won as many national championships as the Tide over there in Tuscaloosa, but I mean, we can't help. There's a black hole over there in Tuscaloosa. In other words,
no, James, you really don't understand my point, or maybe Logan. I'm not talking about the tradition of the rivalry. I'm talking about I work in a day-to-day industry where it doesn't matter how good or bad I was yesterday. It's a new day today. And
Paul,
I'm just talking about.
Have we not won two of the last four?
That's not the point, though. Everyone knows that. I can quote those stats just like you can. What I'm talking about is the intensity of the rivalry day to day, not on that final Saturday in November.
Oh, so you don't think people are out here still fist-fighting?
No, I really do not. I think Saban has broken the will of the Auburn people.
Do we? Oh, that's why we fired a man that was making $7 million.
Exactly. No, that's understandable.
A year.
And that doesn't mean he didn't beat Saban. He did. We all watched the games together. I'm talking about the day-to-day back and forth that has gone on in my lifetime between Auburn and Alabama. I'm suggesting, my opinion only, it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, what I'm trying to say to you is this. The fact that we haven't settled. Well, we could have just kept the coach we had that we were paying $7 million a year.
Well, James, you do me a favor. You call me back in 8 years or whatever it is and tell me if Brian Harsin will have beaten Nick Saban three times.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that he's going to last half as long as Gus Malzahn.
If he can beat Saban three out of eight times.
Well, what if we beat him this year, Paul?
Good for you.
You going to get on your tracker and ride back to Auburn?
That's not what we're talking. So you're doing what so many people do in the new world, is try to take things out of context. I think my record on Alabama-Auburn is pretty well credentialed.
So we're in agreement that some people take things out of context. Is it context? That's what you're telling me?
I'm telling you that you've taken this entire conversation that I had yesterday out of context.
But it's been fun, though, right, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, fun in the way that a root canal is fun.
I've never had one. Praise God.
Well, I had all mine done the same day, and I can tell you, there was a relief when it was over, but during the process, it was pretty painful.
So, what you're telling me is when you finally get tired of it and push that button, it's going to be a relief.
No, and I will tell you, a root canal is not nearly as bad as a colonoscopy, which this is starting to remind me of.
Oh, come on, Paul. Paul, that's just plain rude, brother.
Have you ever had one?
Well, I have not.
I
don't even know why you want to go there, man.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you of discomfort. You're just not following. You're trying to be an entertainer here, James, as opposed to a caller.
Oh, my bad. Excuse me.
You're trying to James, you're trying to make this show good again. Come on, you can't do that.
Again. I just heard what I heard. I heard a young
man. You're upsetting some information. James, you're upsetting the new world order where this show has to be boring. Come on.
I went through, Paul, the 9 years, okay? I'm in that age group. I was 9 years old when, in other words, Punt Bama Punt was a nice little.
Well, I remember it. Well, James, I must run. I'm sorry. As much as this has been, as enjoyable as this has been, we will take a break. 3 hours to go. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.